throughout all of history, they've only talked about the fame, never the hard work, never the elbow grease, never the early call time.
So this is, my name's Andrew.
And my name is JJ. And over there on the board is?
My name is Nadav.
Now, Nadav used to be our intern back in the day when we would do podcasts on a daily basis. But now he's moved up into more of a producing slash you run the board, bitch.
I guess you could say I did the right amount of sexual favors to move up from intern, but not enough to where bitch isn't out of my title.
Exactly.
That's why my cat no longer lives in the state of California.
That's true, because Nadav, well, Hobbs had him deported.
The producer.
I don't think
of our show.
The charges never landed on that, I don't think.
I know, it's pending.
Well, yeah. Anyway, but this is our first podcast out of, I don't know, I think it's been 5 years since we've actually did a serious podcast. Before we did a lot of comedy stuff, we did some red carpet stuff. We had a good time.
Well, what's this one going to be about, JJ?
Well, see, that's the funny thing. You interject that question. We don't really know. I mean, we do and we don't. We want it to be a comedy podcast, but we also want to have, we want to talk about the entertainment industry and how we got here and stuff like that. I mean, is that correct?
I think like Steve Martin and the Jerk, we want to have a special purpose.
We want to have a special purpose.
Not necessarily
right.
The same special purpose that Steve Martin. Well,
maybe.
That'd be nice if you did.
I don't know.
I mean, right
can
now.
Can you imagine if we had Steve Martin on the
purpose.
Show?
I don't think we're going to get Steve
no,
Martin on the
but
show.
It would be cool.
Let's make that the end game.
All right. If we get Steve Martin on, we're going to be done with
that's
the podcast.
Done.
So if you guys hate us.
Hold on, Andrew. You don't know how to get Steve Martin?
Well,
I thought
he hangs,
that's why you hang out with him, man.
He hangs out at the Magic Castle.
Does he?
Listen,
oh, well, he's a magician,
Hardwick.
Isn't he?
No, but he hangs out. Chris Hardwick has not landed Steve Martin.
That's true.
Now, what would happen if we got him before Chris Hardwick did? I feel like...
That's a thing. That's a thing to do.
That is a thing to do.
That would be a challenge.
Do we have something against Chris Hardwick?
No, I love Chris Hardwick.
Hey, one time I ordered a hamburger in back of him at the commissary at the Burbank lot.
You and...
I remember
you were with me.
JJ was there.
Well,
you were the one that got me on the lot.
Yeah, and I was like... Holy shit, it's Chris Hardwick. He's standing right behind me.
And I was like, you know, I don't really like Chris Hardwick. And then I was like, oh, that's okay. Yeah, I fucking like this guy.
Yeah, he's a cool dude. And I love it. I love his podcast. I'm just going to say. And, you know, you're not supposed to promote other people's podcasts, but I'm promoting his podcast. It's great.
The Nerdist. Catch it every Tuesday, Thursday, or whenever they record.
Yeah, so @Nerdist is his Twitter handle. So there you go.
I don't know if he's going to do the same for us.
Probably not, but you know it'd be cool if he was on the show. That'd be sweet. I mean, I could be like, "What's up, Chris Hardwick? You're sitting on the couch with me."
Here, I'll be Chris Hardwick. All right.
Okay.
All right. Oh, hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Oh, no problem, man. It's great to have you here.
Do you guys watch Walking Dead?
Nope.
Love Walking. Can you see the poster in front of you?
Never.
Oh yeah. Oh, for all your listeners, there are Walking Dead posters.
Well, they're not really Walking Dead, but they're zombie posters.
Yep. Well, you know, I like to talk about the dead. Talking Dead, catch it, AMC, TV.
It's actually a pretty good imitation of him.
Is
why
it?
Do like we his, have the host?
I barely remember what
from,
he sounds like.
From Singled Out on our, that show was canceled years ago. What are you doing here now?
You know, I'd say he took a real, like.
He's done a lot of great stuff.
He took
stuff.
A lull. Like, I'd say there was Singled Out, there was a lull, and now he's bigger and blacker than ever, I think.
I thought like you were Chris the brother Rock. From Boy Meets World.
JTT?
No, that's Home Improvement.
You know that. You knew that way too quickly.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas? Yeah.
Was that before your time? Weren't you like 30 when that show came out?
I'm JJ's older than I am.
How old are you now?
32.
And how old is JJ?
I'm almost 34.
Oh, man. I am young.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why it pays to be the last intern, right?
I guess.
Did we discuss that? How we all know each other? Did we already say that we were your intern?
No. But you just did.
That's right. I met JJ maybe in 2007, where I was interning for you at that NBC show that you hated.
At
that NBC show.
Was it 2007? Really? No,
it was 2008. 2008 or 2000? I would say 2008. summer bomb.
Did wasn't... you meet him first?
No.
No.
I met Andrew.
You met me in 2007.
You were a friend when I came
Andrew, along. Nadav, I met you in like 2009, 2010, something around there, because I moved to L.A. in October 2006, and I only worked at NBC with Andrew. That was my first job with Andrew.
Yeah, but you didn't even work there for a full year, did you? It was only a couple months?
No, I worked there for 9 months.
9 months.
What and did you then, do there, by TV. The way?
Let's just establish a timeline.
All right,
huh?
All right.
Where
all
did
right.
you start before right. you came to L.A., okay. JJ?
I was in Indianapolis after I graduated.
That's a long ways away.
No. Take us back to your birth.
Yeah, farther, farther.
Okay, July 11th,
1980. It was a sunshiny day. My mom said, and then after I was born, construction workers came to visit me at the nursery thing.
Construction workers.
Yeah, because my dad was a pipe fitter at the hospital that was actually I was born in. And so there was like 10 pipe fitters came up and said, "Hey, look, it's JJ." And that's pretty much it. Yeah, those were my first guests. I had a mic in their face and everything. I was like, "What's going on with this world?"
I thought that was going into a very elaborate Village People joke.
No,
that's exactly what I was thinking. I was like a construction.
This is going.
Well, I don't lie, so that's what happened. And
straight up, JJ with the clan of pipe fitters.
Yeah. So fast forward about 20 years.
Okay.
And 20-some years. Excuse me. And I moved to LA. In October of 2006, and 3 months later, I was working at NBC.
How did you get that job, by the way? Just so that people that are trying to make the move to LA, maybe they could see how you did it.
Well,
with a truck, right? Or a car?
No, I packed up my car. I packed it. I had a Dodge Intrepid, the shittiest car in the world.
I remember that
car. I thought it was great because it had leather interior, but that's about it.
You've grown up since then.
I've grown up, yes. And, so I packed that up. I had everything I needed, clothes, computer, shit like that. And my friends had an opening in their lease out here. That's why I moved out. And so I moved out. I wanted to be an editor. And so I immediately started posting on Craigslist. That was when...
You were posting on Craigslist.
I'm sorry, replying to Craigslist ads. And, you reply to all of them because...
It's a numbers game.
It is a numbers game. It's like dating. You ask
also 100, a numbers game.
You ask 100 girls out, one's at least going to say, "Yeah, I'll go into a coffee shop with you at least once." So I just replied to every Craigslist ad that I could, and there were some that I was like, "I don't know if I really want to take it, but I will." Anyway, there was this one Craigslist ad that said, "Assistant to an editor, but not an assistant editor."
Ooh, assistant to an assistant editor? Is that?
No. Basically, I would be a personal assistant to an editor, but I wouldn't be an assistant editor where I would be doing, like, bringing in footage and logging stuff. I would be taking care of her cats and helping her clean up her kitchen, shit like that.
And it's like a plastic fruit in your mouth.
Yeah, and I was like, it was $100 a week. I didn't have a job at all. I was like, might as well meet somebody.
Wait, who's so you editor? Moved out here with nothing, with no job.
I moved out here without a job.
Ballsy. Are you crazy? That is ballsy.
I thought, why not, you know?
But you'd been here.
I had been here. I did an internship in 2003 for Miramax when it was still around.
Boom.
Impressive. Which is yeah, that's pretty much why I got my job now.
Now, did you hang out with Bob and Harvey on a regular basis?
No, I never met them. I always wanted to because they were supposed to be the yellers.
The yellers?
I can see that.
Like Harvey, they come in and they're like, "Ah, fuck this," and blah, blah, blah. You know,
like from Entourage, just like veins popping.
Yeah, just vicious. But I never met them. I basically was in the vault, so I would make dubs of movies and watch movies all day long.
Not a bad job.
No, and I proved myself enough that they let me basically
run my company.
Run the room for 2 weeks. Because the first week my supervisor was gone. He had like jury duty, and then the following week he got sick. So for 2 weeks, I ran the dub room, and they're like, you're really cool. We wish we could hire you. But guess what? We're firing everyone. So I was witness to the first firings of Miramax. And
that's a good feeling.
Wow. And I didn't have a job, so I had to move back to Indianapolis.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Well, yeah.
And then I totally witnessed. I remember when I was working as interning for you, I also witnessed a mass firing, which is.
Yeah. As did I at NBC.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure. Okay. Well, we'll save those for a bit. Let's keep on with the intros. Sure.
Well, the firing at NBC when I worked with you was a little different. Well, I guess it was the same because it was a show firing. It wasn't like massive.
Well, the firings I witnessed were different, but that's a whole other bag of potatoes that I will skin.
Bag of potatoes.
I don't know.
Well, yeah. When I was with you, Andrew, you intern on a show called URLA for NBC.
Is that the first show you worked on, Andrew?
That is.
Okay.
It was also my first show as an assistant editor / assembly editor, which basically means I digitized everything, and then they shot host stuff in the studio, and at night I would take the host stuff and marry it with the packages that the editors had cut. And put it to time and put it to tape, and then that would go to air.
So you were doing big boy editing within your first three months. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
The reason I got that job was because that Craigslist ad about the assistant to an editor that I was talking about briefly, she didn't, after 3 months, or like after like a couple weeks, I didn't hear her back from her because I was like, I might as well do this job. And I wrote like three paragraphs about why I should do it.
Why you should take care of her cat.
Yeah. And like why I'm a good person. And I said, oh, by the way, here.
I don't kill cats on the side. FY Izzles.
Yeah. So by the way, here's my resume in my reel. If you know of any assistant work,
what did you
let
have
me
on
know.
Your reel coming from Indiana.
Well, I had stuff that I worked on with Miramax because they put me on as a production assistant because I was such a good intern.
It was okay. A fishing reel. Actually.
It was a fishing reel.
That's, you put together a reel for a production assistant?
No. I put that on there just as like because I was a post PA,
mm-hmm.
So you know I helped with stuff. I mean, I helped, quote unquote. They just put me on there because they're like, we like you and we want you to give you a credit,
right?
Pretty
tight.
But I did other, you know, I had cut like stuff in Indianapolis. I'd cut documentary stuff and things like that. So I put those on my reel, and you know, it wasn't crazy, but it was something.
No, that's like insane to think that you came from Indiana with like corporate video stuff and were able to find legit stuff within like a 3 to 4 month period. I mean, I'm over here legitimately looking for work for like 2 to 3 years, and I like just now started like finding a groove,
right?
Which is insane that you found it in 3 months.
Well, the thing is, I didn't do freelance. I actually landed a job that was going to be until the show was done,
right? Which is even crazier.
Yeah, and I understand that. I mean, it's just. It's weird to me. It's weird to me that it happened so quickly.
You're like the guy in the pyramid scheme ads who like stands in front of a mansion in a Corvette and it has like models spilling out of it. Like, this could be you.
Yeah,
and then at the bottom it says actual results may vary.
Right.
You're like the first guy in the pyramid scheme where it's like, yeah. Where it's like you're still at the top even though you're... You had a good spot.
Yeah,
and you're probably on your way to prison.
Yeah.
By the time the ad airs,
Bernie Madoff's wife.
I'm actually in prison now. God,
it's weird having glass between us doing the podcast.
Yeah, no. Now. Like, can you feel the heat from my hand?
Can that guy with the gun like step back? He's a little.
I'm not going to step back.
No. Nadav, the prison guard. That's Nadav's groove.
Yeah,
yeah, that's like the authoritative. Like, you guys ever heard of the Milgram experiment? I wish I was around for that, so I could be.
Oh,
like,
where they
the prisoners and the and
oh
the
my
correctional
gosh.
Officers went around.
Have you
no,
seen
wait,
the
that
video?
Was the Milgram. That was the shocking one. I'm thinking
you
of the Stanford. Yeah,
Stanford.
The Stanford prisoner experiment.
That was rad. Have you seen the documentary?
That. I remember reading that. And I was like, jelly.
There's a documentary.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Oh god, it's so cool.
I don't have a clue what you guys are talking about.
You should,
man. Yeah. I totally get that Nazi thing.
Basically, what they did was they put
so easy to fall
they
into.
Put like 20 people in this experiment. 10 people were classified as guards for this mock prison, and 10 were prisoners.
Right.
And they just wanted to see on the roles of people. Like, if you're a officer, what are you going to do? If you're a prisoner, what are you going to do? And they took on the roles of the prisoner. They didn't think of it as like, this is a test. Go fuck yourself.
Right.
Yeah, and it turned into a shit show fast.
Yeah, and it was like,
oh, cool.
And they were like, oh, we're gonna do this for 2 weeks. After 4 days, they pulled it.
Yeah.
Because people were gonna die.
It was like the people that were playing officers were like beating the prisoners and just like really. It was like it was just like, this is how the Holocaust happens.
It's fascinating. It's like watching Dexter to me.
How did we start talking about these prison experiments? Aren't we?
Because
I'm in prison.
Oh, okay.
So anyway,
all right.
Off to prison, but, on to...
yeah. So anyway, the show that we were working on...
Yes.
It was a daily show, and then it got cut back to weekly show. And that's
not a good sign.
No, but...
How did it feel when you saw it go from daily to weekly?
Well, I was pissed because I got fired too. And they're like, well, we're just going to keep on two editors. And I'm like, all right, that's fine. Get rid of your assembly editor. It's cool. I mean, whatever. I was looking for other work. I kind of wanted to move on anyway. And
so was it straight up firing, or did they?
No, it was firing. Okay. I was done.
Is this when you were in the trailer and you had a bottle of Jack Daniels in the fridge in the edit bay?
That was later.
Okay, got it.
Plot's gonna thicken.
Yeah. Well, then that was much later, actually. So they fired everybody from ULA, and right. They thought that they could get away with doing the show with two editors. Well. They found out that after 2 weeks that they couldn't, and they said, "Will you come back and work for us and assemble the show?" And I said, "I will, if you hire me as an editor and not an assistant."
Boom!
So they hired me as an editor.
Throwing the hammer.
It was by far the best job that I've had because I only had to work 3 days a week, 24 hours. That's all I had to work during the week, and I could get all my work done, and I had enough money that I could survive.
Nice.
And just be fine.
That's really the first step in coming to LA, is finding something so that you don't have to, like...
Oh, it was great.
Be a barista, or, like...
Yeah.
Like, if you could find something where you could do what you came to LA to do and supply that with rent and bills being paid, then you're solid.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that a lot of people do Starbucks jobs, like...
8 years. Oh, I did.
Is that what you did?
Right. Well, I started in Seattle. But all right. Yeah.
Let's
go over
shift,
to Andrew.
Shift the story, Andrew. Why don't we go to the beginning of you?
Can I get a blanket and a pillow? I'm getting comfy over here.
A cup of cocoa and a marshmallow.
1982. Set the scene.
Well, I was born in 1981, so by 1982, I was already alive.
No. All right,
perfect. Let's start there.
How current are we getting? By the way.
Well, I don't know how current
am I just coming to LA.
Just where we like met each other.
Yeah,
like,
tell
right.
You can say how you met me.
All right, fair enough. So I came to LA. My excuse to get to LA was that I wanted to live in LA. So I came here for school, and I went to Cal State.
Hold on, you came to LA because you wanted to be in LA?
Yeah, I did. That makes sense.
That wasn't the reason. Like, did you want to do the Hollywood thing, or you're just like, nah, I just want to...
Oh, no, LA as a city is horrible, and I would live anywhere else in the world.
That's true.
I would live in Afghanistan.
So you regretted the decision pretty immediately?
No, at first I was very jaded. So I did theater when I was in high school, and I was...
I could totally picture
that. I was basically
that.
Raised in the theater.
You have theater kid written.
Can I interject once?
Face.
Yeah.
I did a theater show one time, and I ran lights, and I fell in love with a girl because she flashed me. That was on the theater team. I was like, all right, I think I could do this theater stuff.
All right, Andrew, your story's taking a backseat.
Yeah,
so on this girl. What was her name?
Her name is Juliana.
Oh, Juliana, huh?
Yeah.
How old was she? Okay.
No.
Andrew. Back to...
So you did a kindergarten theater.
Yeah, I was running lights
for
this.
She was 16. I was 16.
Show.
It's all right.
Wow.
I was like, that's amazing.
I wish you could.
She's like,
was it like
your
a
expression.
Walk by? Here's a flash, or was it like, hey, you wanna?
Well, see the way the theater was set up for the lightings, the lighting booth. You could open this back door of the lighting booth, and you could look down in the hallways. And I was walking to go into the lighting booth, and she just gets up there, opens the door, and she's like, JJ, look at this. And she lifts up her shirt, and I'm like, that's amazing.
Nice. And so I was it wasn't like a creepy voyeuristic, like,
no,
oh, you're changing
into no, like, no. I mean, we dated for like 2 weeks after.
2 weeks?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus.
It was pretty sweet.
Who found out real quick that this juice ain't worth the squeeze?
I think she broke up with me, but I was like, whatever.
You're like, whatever.
I saw your tits. It
doesn't
cool.
matter. Saw your tits, right?
They were nice. They were like
the best set of 16-year-old tits.
I think they're the ones.
What's the statute of limitations on talking about this stuff?
And it was more than 10 years ago. So
that seems right.
The law is different in Indiana.
I compare to her. They were perfect.
She is my standard.
Yeah. So
she is.
If she's out there listening, you have amazing. Amazing breasts.
Juliana from Indianapolis.
Yeah, maybe I changed her name, so.
Yeah, maybe she just goes by Julianne.
No, maybe she doesn't go by Juliana at all.
Maybe Julie?
Maybe that's a good thing.
No.
Maybe just Jay.
No. No, it's something like that. Anyway, how did you meet me, Andrew?
Well, I flashed JJ.
Yeah.
And he said, "I want you to be my intern."
Oh, no. Andrew, you used to be Juliana?
Yeah. Well, used to. Still am.
only on the nights on Thursdays at
Transgenders, Divas. Man. Transgender, yeah. Whatever.
So I came to LA for school after attending a lot of different universities.
Mm-hmm. I'm listening.
Yeah. It took me 6 schools in 7 years to finish my undergrad.
Wow.
Went to UNLV. If you ever want to go to UNLV for film school, don't. Went to Montana State University, where they do put a camera in your hands in your first semester, and you go out and you make a 16-millimeter film, which most schools don't do.
How many schools did you go to?
That's rad.
Six.
Okay.
Well, I went to some community colleges because I had to just, you know, bridge the gap between major universities.
Sure.
Then I went to Cal State Northridge, and I majored in journalism. And that's where I met a lovely person named Adita.
Oh, Adita.
Who graduated from there, and she came in to speak to our class one day. And the reason I did journalism is because the film program is impossible to get into.
That's right.
You okay?
Andrew, getting in through
yeah,
the
back. Yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah. So I met Adita, and she said, "I work for a show called You're LA at NBC." And I said, "Oh, I wonder if they need interns for the summer." So I went in there.
That's good thinking, Andrew.
What?
That's really good thinking.
It was. It was very good thinking.
Did you follow through?
Graduation was coming up. So I went in, and I talked to a lovely young lady named Michelle.
Love both of those women.
And I said, "Do you have any open internship slots for the summer?" And they said...
Internship what?
Slots.
Okay.
Slots.
All right.
With an O
mm-hmm.
and a
mm-hmm.
TS.
Mm-hmm.
Starts
mm-hmm.
with an SL.
All right.
And yep. They said, "Nope." And I said, "Oh, all right." So I called back a week later, and I said, "Hey, just wondering if anything's changed." And they were like, "Nope. We told you. We don't have any..."
It's like, "Nope, no, fuck off."
Opening. Stop calling me.
Still douchebag.
So about a week after that, I emailed Michelle and I was like, "Hey, do you have any, just, you know, checking it, saying hi, really?"
Just a week later, huh?
What's going on? Yeah.
So
yeah.
You heard a no, and then you're like, "No, I'm still checking in weekly."
Crunch time. Crunch
persistence,
time.
Man. I'm and, telling you. That's how I got my first gig.
She said, "I believe I've told you 2 times, and I'm going to tell you 3rd time, we don't have any openings." And I said, "Got it."
I love this.
2 days later, I got an email from Michelle. She said, "Hey, someone dropped out. You want to come on in and start on Monday?"
Oh,
and I said,
"That's great."
Yes, I do. So.
Nice. Persistence.
And on that show, JJ was working.
So that's where I met JJ. I met JJ in June of 2007.
Wow, you remember that? Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
And hated him instantly. Yeah. I saw him. I remember walking past the door. You were wearing that red shirt with the white stripes. Kind of a maroonish color.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And you were sitting in there, and I just said, "I hate that guy so much."
It's because I was wearing red.
I just hated him.
You notice how much I wear red around you now.
Well, I am a Crip, and...
Right. Well, I wear blue, so we're in...
We've changed.
We're in.
All
right. Okay.
And,
yeah.
So I interned on ULA, and the awesome thing about that for me was that it was a smaller show, and it was kind of... Everybody using a lot of their own equipment.
Yep.
And I was able to produce segments that actually ended up airing in Los Angeles, which is the second largest market in the country, as an unpaid intern. So I was able to hire my friends as hosts. I say hire, whatever.
Quote, unquote.
Yeah, how much did you pay them?
$0. Although we did do one at a place called Red 7, which was a Wolfgang Puck restaurant was just opening, and they gave us a bunch of free food.
Yeah.
And my friend Cassie hosted that.
Cassie. Yep. I think I remember that segment. I think I might have cut that one. I can't
And they
remember.
Gave us, Kip gave us the number. Kip was the producer?
Yeah, he was an EP. Yeah.
Put us in the number 2 slot for the show, which was kind of like your big story, Or your big package.
Take it easy.
What are we, 12? Come
yeah.
on.
Pace yourself, guys. We got a long,
The hot joke. Piece comes first, and then we go, you know, it's a sliding scale, and then by the fourth one, it's just like, oh, yeah. this might as well.
Well, usually the last one, the user submitted
right, that was
stuff.
Right.
So
anyway, I was yeah. happy to be in the
yeah, it was great.
Great. And then from there, I went into the page program at NBC. Also, persistence, because I mm-hmm. that was right during the writer's strike.
That's, you know, page program. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? What is the page program?
Did you ever watch 30 Rock?
I did.
With Kenneth the Page?
I did. But nothing, what if our it's, listeners...
Nothing like that. Nothing like that. So don't even... doesn't matter if you've seen it or not.
Perfect. Describe what it's like if I haven't seen that show.
If you haven't seen that show, then why am I even talking to you?
That's a good question. I've seen parts of it. That Tony Faye is really cool.
Tony Faye?
Yeah, she's real funny.
Yeah, he's funny. He's funny. Funny guy.
Yeah, yeah.
The page program is basically, it's like a paid internship. In fact, a lot of people thought we were interns, and we had to we were very adamant about, no, we're not interns. It started in 1933. People like Regis Philbin were pages. Michael Eisner of Disney was a page. Oh, wow.
Is there a
Captain
Pages
Kangaroo
uniform?
Was a page.
Really?
Yep.
Wow, that's cool.
Is there a uniform that you had to wear?
There's a uniform. It's changed several times over the years. I had mm-hmm. an ugly blue blazer and gray pants, and then they went to a Brooks Brothers uniform. And here's a funny story. The guy that came in to fit us for the Brooks Brothers suits
mm-hmm.
for the page program, you know, measured everything and got all the cut. He was Cary Grant's tailor.
Wow.
So he was about 1,000.
Yeah, yeah. I'd imagine that.
Had the shakes. Easy with the scissors there, boss. Yeah, so you do the page program for a year, and you basically, you work the Tonight Show when it was still out in L.A. before it was moved back to New York.
The communism that happened, yeah.
Yep, and I worked in Universal Media Studios development offices, so we were the office that had the executives that ran shows like The Office and Heroes and Friday Night Lights and 30 Rock, and I was there when we developed Parks and Recreation. And answered phones and read a lot of scripts and ate free food. And then 13 of my bosses got fired right before Christmas in what Variety called a pre-holiday peacock bloodbath.
Wow.
And
yeah, I remember that. Yep.
And I spent 3 years trying to find myself.
Well, you went to England. You lived in England.
I did. I got a master's degree in England and wrote a dissertation on television so I could keep it relevant.
Right.
And came back, and I've been working ever since.
Yeah.
Worked at a talent agency and a management company, and now I'm working on a pilot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's my...
Yeah. Moving on up.
And I'm a Scorpio. A Scorpio.
No!
So.
I don't care.
I'm a Cancer. It's all right. And then...
Warmer.
Well, along that journey and my journey, and we ran into Nadav.
Oh, right. Okay. All right. Here we go.
And Well, Andrew and I did the podcast while I was still working at NBC, and it was during the time that Nadav was my intern at NBC, where we cut packages about houses and restaurant stuff.
Yeah, the way I describe it to people is like it was like Cribs, but instead of rappers, it was rich white people.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty good.
So Eminem.
Pretty good way, yeah. Well, white ladies.
There's no overlap. You can't be white and a rapper. It's if you're a rapper, we're not interested.
Like white women mm-hmm. talking about houses. And it was a great show.
It was great. I know exactly what my future house is going to look like.
Yeah, I mean, you just
take the snippets of all the best.
And that's kind of how I got a lot of the ideas about this place, of what I wanted.
Okay.
That
Of
the condo that we are now recording it, the studio.
Yes.
And I owe that to that show a little bit. Minus the green walls. I never saw a house with green walls, but...
You gotta do something.
But you're like, recessed lighting, infinity pool, infinity pool.
Yeah, exactly.
Where is the infinity pool?
It's down the...
corridor?
It's
down the 405.
The atrium?
We go to the south wing.
Yeah, the south. We are technically in the west wing.
Oh, how presidential.
Yes, and this is the rectangular office.
I don't like that.
That's fine. I don't care. But we met you.
All right. Okay. So here, I'll go on.
Sure.
Okay. So, I was going to school in Irvine. I was born and raised in LA and,
weird.
The second summer of my college, my dad's like, what the fuck are you doing with your life?
That sounds just like your dad.
Yeah, with like a thicker accent, though.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck are you doing with your life? What are you doing this summer? I was like, I don't know, hanging out with my friends and stuff. Yep. He goes, all right, well, I know someone that's like a big deal at NBC. I'm going to hook you up with an internship. I was like, yeah, all right, sign me up for that. And, like, I was a dumb little kid. I haven't really worked. Like, I worked a construction job at some point one of the summers between high school, but...
Pipe fitter.
Yeah, I was a pipe... Whoa, that was really loud, sorry. I was a pipe fitter.
He was not a pipe fitter.
that's right. I installed and fabricated marble countertops.
You worked with your mom.
With my mom, yeah. I have a driver's license where, after a day of work, we went and got, like, my driver's license, and I look Mexican.
So do I.
And that's funny because I am not Mexican.
I am white. I am a white man.
I look straight up like I rape someone and I'm Mexican. I swear I look like a convict.
You look like you... What?
Yeah.
like you rape like someone?
You should see. I should post a picture.
Is a Mexican.
I should post a picture of this. I look like a Mexican rapist.
What does that look like? Does it look like you have scratches on your face?
Is that an objective look? Is it like this is what... You. Look it up in the dictionary. This is what a Mexican rapist looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. That's the dictionary. I should post a picture of this.
You look like Tuco.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
But okay, so I worked construction during that summer in high school, so we backtracked quite a bit. Oh, right. Late summer of 1988, I exited my mother. Flash forward 20 years.
Wait, head first or butt first?
Dick first.
Oh, really? Well, that's...
Actually, that's my doctor.
That's unpleasant.
That's the thing that my parents always remind me of.
All right.
And then whenever my siblings were like, hey, you know, you were adopted. I'd be like, I saw the video of me peeing on the doctor. Because I don't know why. I saw the video of my birth, which...
Why?
Whoa. Oh, God.
Yeah.
For the love of God,
when I was young, too, before I even knew, like, oh, this isn't something I want to see. Someone was like, you want to see yourself getting born? I was like, yeah, why not? And it was like a C-section, so...
Ah! Okay.
It was.
You ever see the movie Alien? Pretty much it, right there.
Starring exactly the dog.
Oh. And, like, I remember snippets of it, and I remember at some point, like not too long ago, my dad's like, hey, you want to see the video of your birth? And I was like, no.
Nah. Speaking of snippets, did you have a bris? Is that what it's called?
My penis is circumcised, if that's what you're talking about.
All right.
I mean, he is Jewish. It's okay.
No, yeah. I was just...
Right now, according to Jewish law, I can be buried in a Jewish cemetery, so...
You can or can't?
I can.
Yeah, you don't have any tattoos, nothing.
Oh,
like
actually,
that.
I do have a tattoo, technically.
What?
On the inside of my colon. Yeah, baby.
Really? Really? Yeah.
When they removed, like, 10 or 16 centimeters, they had to tattoo, like, on the inside where they were going to cut.
Oh, really?
I'm tattooed? Yeah, I got some sick tattoos.
They didn't just put permanent marker on that like they do everything else?
No, because it wasn't on the outside.
Can you
that,
be like,
they did that while
can I get razor wire or...
Oh.
A skull.
But this is a different story on how I got my first tattoo.
Well, we can talk about that later.
Jesus Christ, how did we...
Are we going to tangents? How, okay,
dad said
your dad said that he knew someone at NBC.
Right, okay, so my dad's like, what the fuck are you doing this summer? He knew someone that was pretty high up in NBC. He goes, I could get you an internship during the summer. I was like, all right, tight. I'm totally down.
Tight.
So the first summer, I go on. I'm like, all right, awesome. Going to this orientation. Like, they give me a nice little white folder. I'm like, this is great. This is, like, big boy stuff. I'm on a lot. I just got to take the tram ride for free at Universal, which is pretty cool.
I did that as well. It's nice.
And so then, like, the day after that, the person who's in charge of the internship program calls me. I'm like, hey, Nadav, we just need a couple papers from, your school to make sure you get credit because, you know, the whole slave labor thing.
Right.
Like, yeah, sure. I get you. But my school at the time was, like, not down. They're like, why didn't you get this organized earlier on and this, that, and the other? And they did not give me my papers. So...
Oh.
The next week, I had to go get a new job at Vaughn's Supermarket.
Which one?
The one right from your old place.
Verdugo on North Hollywood Way?
Yeah.
Nice.
And here's the craziest part, is that when I showed up to orientation over there, they gave me the exact same folder from the Universal, like, orientation, but instead of the Universal NBC logo, it's the Vaughn's Supermarket logo. I was like, oh, God, this is the most depressing moment of my life. And I remember specifically there was a moment, because to break you in during your first week at Vaughn's, they make you open at 5 a.m. for 5 days straight. And so you have to go and mop all the floors. And I remember There was a song that was playing. I remember crying to "Hey, There's Delilah" while mopping the floors at like 5 a.m. This is the lowest moment of my life. While I'm singing along to it. But then I helped. What's her face? What's Lizzie McGuire's sister's name?
Oh.
Haley? Yeah, I helped Haley find some artichoke dip, so that was pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
So, you know, that's where my entertainment career started, when I helped her find some artichoke dip. Then the next summer, I made sure that, like, of September the next year, I was like, I am not going to fuck up my next summer.
Sure.
So I got all my papers in order, made sure all, like, the papers were there. Then I got into my first actual interview. I went to the orientation thing again. They're like, all right, so we're going to set you up at this interview at this department, and we'll see if you're a good fit. So I go in, and I walk in, and it's... I remember walking into the interview, and this is before I even saw you, but you remember Alex? Alex Safdie.
Yeah, I remember
his last name?
Yeah, Safdie.
Alex. Yeah. Hire him. He's a good editor.
He's a great guy.
He's a great guy. So I remember walking in, and you guys are filming something with, like, a giant Kino in his office, where he has, like, a red leather jacket from, like, Eddie Murphy's
Raw. Oh, God. Yeah,
and he's just
acting...
black, like
it was pretty,
but like
sweet.
like in a way where it was like, if I knew this guy, I'm sure I'd be laughing my ass off, but at this point I don't know if this is uncomfortable, I don't know if this is awkward, I'm just gonna smile and ask where my interview is supposed to be. So I watched that for maybe 5 minutes kind of laughing, and then you grab me, you're like, hey, Nadav, right? Or you definitely mispronounced it at that point.
No, I'm sure.
Navid, Navad,
Nadurv,
Navard, Nadar, Adolf,
Nerd.
Ned,
whatever your name is.
Ginger, in here.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I go in, you interview me along with your assistant at the time.
Kevin.
Great guy, Kevin.
Kevin Stone.
Yep.
Greatest name in the world.
The Stone Man.
Yeah.
Then we proceed to have a good interview. I remember specifically at one point you were like you asked some question and I answered it and you're like, that was the perfect answer. Now, what's your real answer? I was like, nice. I'm fucking nailing this interview.
Yeah. I was something like, why do you want to do this? And you gave me some bullshit. Like, I really want to learn about editing. And I
totally meant that at the time.
Well, I'm sure you did at the time. And I'm like, come on. Like, I don't know. I don't like doing interviews. I'm like, as long as you can do the work, all right, let's do this. But... I don't know.
I'm a sponge.
I remember
still have that in my repertoire.
Yeah, I said, whatever you do, just soak up everything like a sponge. Like, just learn as much as you can at every job. And because it is an experience thing.
That's the smartest thing I've ever heard you say.
Really?
I mean, you say a lot of dumb stuff.
I do say a ton of dumb
stuff. But that was very...
But it's true. Like, every job, even if it... I mean, shit. Stuff that I've learned... I used to work with kids, which is probably not a good thing anyway. But, I worked at group homes, and I worked at a lockdown facility, and, like, stuff like that, like, just conflict negotiations, things like that, I've kind of passed on with jobs that I work now. And I think any job that you're doing, you can take a little bit from it, even if it isn't industry related, and just pass it on to your next job, because people are people, they're going to act the same way.
Yeah.
And
I had a lot of fun at that job, too. I was like...
It was a good job. It was fun.
It was fun. Post PA, was that the official or was it just intern?
I think you were post intern. But I told you that.
Let me like cut some stuff.
Yeah, I remember. I don't think I did it with you necessarily, because I knew that you didn't want to do post.
Yeah,
Andrew.
You were a piece of shit from the beginning.
Yeah.
Any of the post interns that I've had, I've said, listen, I'm going to allow you to cut whatever you want to cut for the show, and it'll go to air. I might do a little bit of tweaking, but if you do a good job, you're gonna have stuff that you can put on your reel, and it's not like, oh, I was an intern and I digitized this or I found music for this. You actually cut the stuff, and hopefully that got you some jobs later.
Oh, I still don't have a reel, which is fucking stupid.
You should definitely put a reel.
You guys can find my reel at nadavitskowitz.com. Spell it just like it sounds.
Oh, fuck.
No, but I remember, like, before I even got out of college, I was able to tell people, like, yeah, what's up? I have, like, 10 minutes of fucking, like, aired footage that I cut. Like, what's up?
Yeah.
I would tell them to say stuff like that, and I would impress... I don't know. My friend Billy, maybe.
Fair enough.
Then I remember I came back next summer, and you and I just became better and better friends, and kept in touch.
Yep.
And I remember at one point you were like, hey, like, this is when you guys were doing your first podcast. You're like, hey, me and Andrew are doing a podcast. We want you to, like, intern for us there, too. I was like, yeah, man, you guys could, you know, fuck me all day. Like, I'll work for free. I don't care.
Dry lube.
Like, I hate fair work and all that stuff. Yeah, so, yeah. You know, I hate money.
Well, the thing that... That,
and I hated Andrew right from the beginning.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's video evidence of that. So,
yeah, he was a pretty anti-Semitic right off the bat.
Like
in the same way when I said when I first met Alex, I was like, ooh, I don't know if I should laugh or this is awkward.
Yeah.
From the beginning when I first met Andrew, I was like, this is inappropriate. I
remember this guy's a dick.
I remember he took me to his house in Eagle Rock. And all of his dogs came barking at me. And the first thing, before he says hello, Nadav, he goes, oh, they don't like Jews.
Oh, really? Because I thought it was the first time. Well, no.
I think that's what it was.
Well, it was something
about...
We
don't about, have that on the, video.
No, we don't have that.
That's not on video.
We have the penny comment.
Was it the Star of David with the circle and the line through it that I had painted on the outside of my garage? Was that...
No, I don't think that's it.
I saw that.
Oh, that might have been something else. There's something I was going to say about...
It was the Brian McCarthy thing.
Oh yeah,
well, I blame him.
That's the penny comment.
Yeah.
That was pretty bad.
If I can out offend someone when Brian McCarthy is in the room,
yeah,
that's a compliment.
Brian McCarthy.
Well, no, because I wasn't even a target of his, and for some reason you're like, you know, I think it'd be really funny if I just made a whole bunch of Jew jokes at Nadav's expense, even though we don't really talk to each other off mic.
That was kind of terrible. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, you said that to him? That's so not cool.
Yeah, and I want to say that we're over it, but let's be honest. A Jew never forgets.
Just like an elephant.
A Jewish
That's
elephant?
That's anti-Semitic, too. Are you saying all Jews are elephant, JJ?
No, I'm
that
just saying...
all elephants?
I'm just,
is that it?
I'm just saying that you never forget.
JJ, you like need an to elephant. Take
That's right, never forget.
Training.
I'm sorry.
Never forget.
Anyway, what were we talking about? Podcasting.
I was wrapping up how I know you and how I met Andrew, and I think that wraps up how we all know each other.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
I have to say, it comes all full circle because we've helped each other out at various stages, networking... Etc.
Yeah, it's very true.
So, you know.
Well, I think it goes to show that, because I love saying that, goes to show.
This is like Jerry's final thought right here.
It is, it is. I think it just goes to show that if you stay in contact with the people you work with, friends that you like, you know, the people that you like to enjoy time together. Boy, that sounds weird.
Just find somebody who can speak, and then you find somebody who can edit.
I find someone that can run a board.
You're not
going to
be
listen.
The same person. Sometimes.
No, I just think if you work well with someone, try to work.
Keep working.
Try to keep working with them, and that's kind of what I've been doing with you guys, and that's also how I got my job at Warner Brothers eventually, which we can talk about in another podcast.
Because moving forward, we're going to talk more about...
Right, because we're only talking about how we started. We didn't say where we are now.
Yeah, we're not really in the meat.
We're all big deals now.
I like being a big deal.
We're big deals.
Yeah, so... No, we're big deals. We're big deals.
We're medium deals.
But
we're smallish to mediumish
but
deals.
During the podcast, we'd like to have hosts, or we'd like to host segments with guests that have, are maybe have bigger careers than us, or are just trying to make it. We know some interns and some people that we'd like to kind of interview and see where they're at and what they could do, and maybe give them some helpful advice. Also, if people out there want to ask us questions and comment on our podcast,
production questions, industry questions, we're down.
Anything, they can text or they can leave us a voicemail at 267-225-CHAT.
Is that a mistake right now?
No.
Are we supposed to be giving out numbers?
267-225-CHAT. 2428, which is chat, if you spell it out.
Or you can call me on my personal number, 555-555-5534.
Oh, whoa. Nice.
That's how you know it's real.
Yeah.
The 3-4. Hold on, so we have a number that people can call
into?
Yeah,
we do.
Tell me about that.
Well, Google Voice is a wonderful program, and we just set it up. We just found a phone number we wanted.
You can find them online at google.com.
Oh, wow. That's good. I hope you guys had your pen and paper for that.
The 267 is actually like a Detroit area code?
Probably cheap. Cheap number?
Well, very cheap.
Well, it's not. Whatever. 267-225-2425 or 2428. Yeah, you can text us, and it'll come up in an email. It's really cool. And then you can also do that with voice. You can leave a voicemail, and you can play it. We could actually play it through the computer and play it on the air. So if you have comments, concerns, questions, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you just don't like what Andrew is saying because he's pretty offensive most of the time, like, I want to hear that too, you know?
Yeah, like, call him an asshole. That would be pretty funny.
I would actually like it if you guys... What's your nationality background, Andrew? German, isn't it?
I am I'm white through and through. I was born white in
America. How long have you been in
America? My entire family is American. We are...
How many generations back? Zuber, come on.
No, my grandma's German.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
On my mom's side, so I don't really know. I need to get onto that... what's that website? Find out where I'm from. There we go.
Anyways, if you guys
Ancestry.com.
If you guys want to call this number, text this number, and just kind of just draw connections to Andrew's Nazi background, we'll totally listen to those too.
267-225-2428.
Chat.
And that's a wrap. Didn't get your fill at Craft Services and you want more? Check out earlycalltime.com for more podcasts and information pertaining to the ever-growing entertainment industry. And remember to tell your friends about us via Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.